this is your dear pal, the Joker, and you have the privilege of listening to Ear Candy from the 8-Bit Geek Podcast.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to a special edition of the 8-Bit Geek. We are back. We're doing it. We're doing it big. It is 8-Bit Horror Fest 2022. This year, we are revisiting some H.P. Lovecraft stories, some films, and this week, we have a great one for you. Well, maybe it's a great one. You'll see. It's called Underwater. It was released in 2020 and, directed by William Eubank. And stars Kristen Stewart, Vincent Castle, and some other names I can't pronounce right now. We'll leave that up to someone else.
TJ Miller. Super hard to pronounce.
It really I understand. It's TJ, actually. Come on.
TJ Millay.
TJ Millay. Nice.
I am Jeremy, and with me, as always,
me, Doug.
I'm Kevin.
And a host of others. You can say yours too.
My name is Caleb.
Oh my God.
Hey, you're back for week two. Thanks, Caleb.
Caleb's here. He's got hot takes.
And Chaboy Brendan, aka Space Jesus.
Actually, it's not Caleb. It's a me, a Mario.
Hey, we have
here we come.
Oh,
that is not New York enough.
No, it's fine. They'll watch it anyway.
Yeah, right. The apparently Nintendo doesn't give a fuck anyway. So
yeah, that's my submission.
This is true. Okay, so this week we had a movie called Underwater, which I don't want to spoil anything right off the bat. So we'll just say that there was a crew of oceanic researchers working for a deep sea drilling company, trying to get to safety after a mysterious earthquake devastates their deep water research and drilling facility located at the bottom of the Mariana Trench.
Yep, that's the official synopsis from IMDb. What'd you say?
What'd you guys think?
Oh. Well, it was dark.
Yes.
Both in lighting and in the overall. I mean, God, so many people died. Here's what I'm also really curious about. So this thing collapses. So like you mentioned, there's the research facility sort of or whatever or drilling facility like starts to collapse and implode because they're so deep underwater that the pressure just knocks it out. And we see them like getting to different like areas where there are escape pods, and a lot of the escape pods are already gone. Mm-hmm. But there's a point at the end of the movie when the people who survive, like it mentions that like, you know, these two were rescued. And it's like, well, what happened to everybody else? And are we supposed to assume that everybody else met similar fates as some of the people in the movie? Like, they don't really go into, we don't see a lot of that. We see some of it, but we don't see like, oh man, look at all these escape pods that have been downed or didn't make it or whatever. Are we just supposed to assume that like everyone died except for the people that made it out?
That's a good
point. Two that they focus on at the end.
Mm-hmm. Well, there was a moment during the movie where they were investigating two of the escape pods, right?
Are we just throwing spoilers all the way out there? Like, is it agreed at this point if you're listening, it's going to be some spoilies?
Oh yeah.
You remember the end when you see her like looking at the screen and seeing the things going for the escape pods, and then she decides she's gonna do the self-sacrifice thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm guessing because no one was there to do that, then all the escape pods did get munched.
Okay, yeah, it wasn't abundantly clear because it didn't seem like as the movie goes on, obviously the threat grows bigger and bigger and bigger, and so it wasn't, you know, like, damn, like, no one's made it out. They never explicitly said that like, none of the other escape pods made it. Because you would think that, like, maybe there would be those sort of control bay areas nearby where they are, so they would be able to see, like, because the computer was screaming at her at that one point, like, hey, incoming, you know, or like, there's critical issues with these escape pods. I don't know. So anyway, so that's jumping way to the end of the movie. I was just curious because the movie wasted absolutely no fucking time jumping into this.
Yeah. Yeah,
there's no character development. It's just like, here's your story. Okay. Survival.
It literally started with a bang.
I have a question. So I did not make the beginning of this movie. So I want to understand it a little bit more. That goes along with your question about the escape pods. When we first meet our characters, are they a new group that has been sent down because of a disaster?
Nope.
Or no, they are just on they're the down station. There working.
Yep, they're down there working, doing whatever they do. Like, we literally meet Kristen Stewart, and she's given us a monologue similar to the one that you heard at the end. Like, almost some of it was like word for word. And then, like, an explosion happens. And, like, I mean, shit kicks off. And she runs in.
Within 5 minutes.
Yeah, within five minutes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And, so maybe it's just a plot hole, something that they just didn't.
Oh, no. I think the way I read it, they totally got munched.
Well, yeah, there was the two pods they were investigating. TJ Miller and what's his name were investigating. And then they found the body that had been munched on.
Mm-hmm.
And then the chest burster happened.
Yeah,
those were two of the escape pods that clearly got destroyed.
I'm just curious how many escape pods it had, because it did tell us at the beginning of the movie that there was like 126 crew members.
Mm.
And so, you know, we only focused on six of them.
Yeah.
And we saw a dead body in the rubble.
Like an entire section collapsed, and only two people made it out. So
yeah, we saw
the quarters.
Yeah,
she knocked on like 10 doors.
And, yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's true. Because they even said that mentioned that like she was like a night crew or something. I think it's one of the conversations she has with the guy at the very beginning, where
Rodolfo,
Rodrigo.
Thank you. Yeah,
the actor from. Archive 81.
Mamoudou Atti?
Yes. I think he had said something about like, I just switched to night shifts or something like that. Because, yeah, I mean, they're trying to get people to wake up, and then two people are running and almost make it, and you have to close the door, otherwise we're all fucking dead.
Mm-hmm.
And they, like, last minute close the door and those people don't make it. So you have to assume that, yeah, there's other people asleep. And we do see, again, we find a body in the rubble at one point as they're crawling through. So it's just, yeah, did a lot of people just die in their sleep? Or, and how many people, and how many escape pods were there? And yeah.
Yeah, like, it's like the Titanic. Like, the Titanic didn't have enough escape boats for people. And, like, now Maritime Law says they've got to have enough for, like, 120% capacity, something like that. So, like, you have to imagine they'd have more than enough escape pods in a for one of those places to avoid that specific situation.
Yeah.
Like if you've got 50 people on a deck and your escape pod area has 10 escape pods, then that's like, well, mm-hmm. 4/5 of them are fucked.
Yeah. And they're single person escape pods too.
Right.
So, and this movie takes place, which is not, again, not made like prevalent until the very end of the movie when we're seeing like these newspaper headlines. If this movie, I don't know if you'll notice, the date on the newspaper was like October or August 27th, 2050.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it was set in the future, which, I mean, it makes sense with some of the tech that they use, especially like the underwater, like nail guns and shit like that.
And a suit designed to be able to withstand the pressure at the bottom of the Mariana Trench.
Yeah, like we don't have that technology yet. That doesn't exist.
So. That you know of.
I mean, it's possible, but like, yeah, that would fold up a submarine in little bitty bits.
I believe that they have sent something down to the trench, to the bottom of it.
They have recently.
Yeah.
Was
that TJ Miller's reputation?
It was a little surprising seeing him in the movie, but again, I think we've established that this was made prior, if not like maybe one of his last roles before he
went off the deep end.
No matter how many times I'll make that joke, I'm not gonna laugh at it.
Which joke?
About the fact that they're deep underwater.
Oh my god.
in the Marianas Trench, the deepest end of on the planet.
Mm-hmm. Have you, do you guys, any of you have like that underwater, what's that name of when you're afraid of something underwater?
Thalassophobia.
Yeah. Does anyone suffer from that?
I do now.
Yeah, I was gonna say, not until I saw this movie.
You know, it's really interesting because I don't think that I like. I mean, that's just a thing I would never do anyways. You could not pay me enough money. I have enough issues just going in like the little submarine ride at Disneyland, Disney World, whichever one it is that has the little submarine thing that only takes you underneath the water by like 5 feet. I'm just kidding. I don't really give a shit about that. But I know Caleb has that fear. He hates like
I've got open a bit water, of that.
Open water fear stuff. But like, I didn't have a fear. Because, you know, when you're a kid, you're like, oh, man, I want to go to space. But then even though how stupid and unrealistic the movie is, like Gravity, that one fucked me up for space. I'm like, I'm good. I don't need to go. I'm fine. I'm good down here. I'm good. I'm no longer jealous of the future of them traveling between planets until it's like 100% safe. You know what I mean? Unless, no, I'm good. Thanks, but no thanks.
Yeah, when it's like Star Trek, I'm fine. But when it's like The Expanse, I'm good.
Dude, yes. Fuck that movie, that show.
I love it too.
It's just like because that was a universe where yeah, like shields don't exist on ships, and so when they're fighting each other in space and shooting at each other, those are just straight up slugs passing through metal in space, and it was just like you're all dead.
Your ship has holes in it. Congratulations.
You're dead. But no, I don't. I did not. I don't have that fear, and that this movie did not instill that fear in me, although it was scary.
Yeah. I think the kind of the under, when they were in those tight confined spaces underwater, that's when it kind of bothered me just a little bit, but I've always loved going underwater. And so I don't have a fear of that and stuff, but it made me feel the same way as I did when I watched the movie. Nope. There where you saw 42 people get eaten by an alien.
And yeah, spoilers.
Still haven't seen that one.
There's a scene. There's a scene in there that that it shows the inside of a of how they're being digested, and it gave me claustrophobia like crazy.
Yeah, and there was a scene in the movie where that I thought the same when that happened. I was like, oh, this is, just reminds me of Nope. That one scene where Kristen Stewart's character was like being
she was being swallowed.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, that was a Nope moment, like literally from the movie Nope, where it was just like, oh my god, this is fucking intense.
Yeah. So it wasn't so much the like open ocean fear that was bothering me. It's the whole concept of explosive decompression is terrifying.
Yes.
Or like being in that in all of those situations where you have no control over whether you live or die because you can't run fast enough or you made the wrong decision. Like if a shoddy weld gives and your section decompresses, like that's it. And you might not know it, but like your whole body is liquefying, and like that one dude whose suit cracked, the visor cracked. His entire body just shot out of his suit into the air and turned into a cloud of dude.
My God.
Like cloudy with a chance of employee.
That was, again, relatively early into the movie because, I mean, within 20 minutes.
You know what? I'm going to send a clip of it to Jer, and I want us all to hear Jer's reaction to this clip.
I don't want that. God. I'm okay without it.
Nope. Sorry.
This was the death in the movie that set the tone for the movie.
Yeah.
I'd be happy to see it. Did everyone love the, so as we go on to this movie, we start seeing these weird creatures, that look almost humanoid, but, you know, and then we fully see them as the movie goes on. Did everyone like the design factors of that?
I thought the CG on them could have been better based on like how good the CG was for just about everything else. I would say I liked their design overall.
I do like the character design or whatever you call it for those creatures.
Yeah.
I always find them very interesting when I'm watching a new like movie that has different character designs for creatures, because the creativity really shines, and I love seeing new alien stuff like that. And so it's always a treat for me whenever I see something new and it looks a little bit different, but still has that the humanoid kind of factor grounds it, and it makes it a little bit more, almost like it tricks your mind to being more believable, you know, in a way.
So it's that almost uncanny valley fear of like your brain's going like why is that humanoid? Mm-hmm. Like it makes it you go less of like, oh, this is an underwater creature that we just haven't discovered because it's so deep down, to something otherworldly. And again, I think it's that uncanny valley like creepiness of, again, yeah, the humanoid aspects of the arms and legs, they're like long and spin, you know, just the
Slenderman-esque.
Yeah, and I think even TJ Miller even at one point said something like, it's like a Slenderman looking dude or whatever. Mm-hmm. And which is interesting that apparently has survived an additional 30 years into our future.
And it lends itself to it being even scarier. Like it's one of those cool things. But okay, let me watch this scene. You're gonna possibly hear it. I could play it on mute because you could possibly hear it through my
speakers or whatever.
Yeah, should I just mute it and then you can just hear my reaction to it?
Sure.
Yeah, let's do that. Muted.
They're chatting.
Yeah.
TJ Miller's saying something.
Probably snarky.
Oh, they're going down.
Yeah, you'll if you can hear it.
Sorry, I sent a more updated one that has the full scene. The one I sent didn't have the full scene. Go to the one that I sent in the main chat. Sorry. Yeah.
I'm watching.
Okay, my bad.
Yeah.
The one.
A minute 45 seconds.
Oh, the one I said is a minute 24. The second one.
Send a second. Did you delete another one?
I don't see another one.
I don't see another one.
Really? I'm gonna try that again.
That's the one. That's the same clip.
All right, I'm watching.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, let's try this again. Right, sorry listeners.
Water. Yeah, there's going to be a lot of Discord sounds in this one.
Yeah.
I tried to mute it, but it's coming through.
Hey, you can just cut that out and post.
Yeah, I'm going to spend the time to catch out every little bloop, 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 fuck off.
Of course, they keep the trope that the it's got to be, oh my God.
He was going to talk about it being the black guy. It was the same thing we said.
Oh, there's limbs.
Yeah, there's bits and pieces floating.
Oh my God. Mm-hmm. And then there was a shockwave that went out so far from the suit.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Explosive decompression, man.
Yep. And again,
that's what I'm terrified of.
Yeah. And that, and again, that sets the mood for the movie. Like that death, like that's when I was like, oh, okay. So that's what we're dealing with here. It's not just like Cthulhu scary monsters in the deep. It's
malfunctions. Like, yeah.
Yeah. It's the stuff I get, like Daniel was saying, the stuff that you like, it's not an otherworldly being. It's something that like, yeah, he grabbed the wrong helmet and.
There's nothing you could do. And he knew he had those three, that like 5 seconds where he heard it cracking and he knew that was his ass.
Yep.
He couldn't say anything. You could just letting people know that like there's something you can do.
Yep. You see her watching him too, because she realizes that something's up.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Oh, and then she sees the cracks going across his helmet.
And the worst part is they've all got to walk through that cloud of bloody water to get out. They've got to walk through his
him.
Him, yes.
They got to walk through him to get out.
Yep. You called it something, Daniel, and I forget. It was like
a cloud of your coworker.
Yeah, you're like, no one expected to wake up that morning and walk through a cloud of their coworker.
Oh,
and it just made me laugh so hard. It was
you're one of the hell with me.
Yeah, well, it felt like one of those things where it was like, I need you to write that down. And I need you to when next time Chubra blows someone up on Saga to make sure that you say something along those lines.
Oh, dark. Look, Rodian soup.
Exactly.
Yeah, I felt. Yeah. I was looking up some budget information because I was watching this, and I was very impressed with all of the set designs, and then of course the suit. Doug, you were saying that in the real world, while they were filming, these suits actually weighed like 140 pounds.
Yeah, I saw one thing that said 100 pounds, and another one that said 140. So within that range,
right, give or take. But yeah. I'm very surprised that this got such a huge budget. It had an $80 million budget.
Wow.
Yeah, and unfortunately, it only grossed $40 million worldwide.
Oof.
It did not make back its budget, or make any profit. But I was very impressed with this because I wouldn't think that this would have been a kind of a summer blockbuster type.
It's not. They released it on January 10th of 2020. No wonder it didn't make any money.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, typically $80 million is reserved for those summertime kind of blockbusters and movies, sci-fi movies and stuff like this and this level. Usually don't see that kind of budget, so I was very surprised.
Yeah, we got to think minimal cast, right? Like six actors the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
So that immediately reduces your cost. And then the way they filmed it was also really interesting because it's mostly underwater. There are obviously sets and stuff where they're inside of the drilling station at various like points to. I clean their suits. I'm not really sure. They keep taking their helmets off every fucking chance they can.
Felt like I was in a fucking Spider-Man movie.
Right. Well, like part of the, again, with those suits being 100 pounds, apparently with the helmets on, they couldn't hear the director. Wow. So what do you think like in the world of.
Yeah, they could have rigged up a freaking headset.
Yeah, exactly. Like a headset. I mean,
like so they don't have phones on them. They just stick a phone in there.
Exactly. But yeah, so I'm guessing that's probably why they were taking the helmets off as much as they could. But when they were filming is that they filmed it not underwater. Cause we were talking like, oh, I wonder how they did this. Did they go like, cause they have like these pools and stuff that they will film this stuff in, but that seems super dangerous. And so we're looking it up and that was, all done on like black, dark, like no light sound stages. And like the only lights they would have some ambient light just to kind of if there was light from the station or whatever. And then, of course, their suit lights and the flashlights. And that was like it. And then they did these scans of the room. And then did all the effects. And also so this it feels like a lot of their budget went to the CG, like when it comes to it, because they did have to build these sets and stuff. But also. You can do a lot of the. Underwater sets in post to make them look like, you know, these giant C4. I don't know.
Do you guys think it didn't make a ton of money because of the main character? Do you think that Kristen Stewart people stayed away from it because of her, or do you think that that didn't matter? Because I can speak personally. And I can say that I've never really been a big Kristen Stewart fan. And so when I saw this trailer, when it was released, I guess it also released during a pandemic. So that didn't help.
That's really the big thing that I think it was, is the pandemic. It was a January release.
Well, that was just before the lockdown. Yeah. Cause lockdown didn't go till March.
That's true. Yeah.
So I've never been a huge fan of hers, but I will say that watching her in this movie, it was the least Kristen Stewart face I've ever seen on Kristen Stewart. She's
been good in a lot of the movies that she's been in. I think that we were talking about this before we started the movie, just that like there's the kind of the Twilight, I don't want to say fatigue, but you know what I mean? Like I think that some of us in that generation especially are just like, fucking Kristen Stewart. Oh my God. Like just, we can't move past it, even though that's super unfair. It's the same issue that some people have with, Robert Pattinson. Yes. Yeah. Robert Pattinson is like, you know, all we see is Edward, you know, and he's been great in a lot of the stuff he's been in.
Yeah. I happen to really enjoy both of them as actors.
I'm looking at Kristen Stewart's, like the list of her movies that she's done. The only other one I've seen was American Ultra.
Really? You haven't seen Crimes of the Future? Or is that was a it was a pretty weird movie, but she did great in it.
Was that the new Cronenberg movie?
Mm-hmm.
I've not seen it.
Yeah, she's got a pretty, I mean, pretty decent role in it. But I mean, you see, you know, she's in it. Yeah, Crimes of the Future. Yeah,
I didn't hate her in this. So I mean, I liked her in the two movies I've seen her in. So,
I saw her in of course, I've watched a couple of the Twilights. Then I saw her in Snow White and the Huntsman. And every time I just could not get over the fact that she just had one look on her face, and maybe she worked with a coach. And cause, you know, watching this one, I was like, oh, she's not doing that classic, like, dead stare into like, you know, my every emotion that I have is just this one gaze.
Blue Steel.
Exactly. Blue Steel.
I liked her in, even though the movie was trash, the new Charlie's Angels.
Oh, I never even saw that.
There was another Charlie's Angels?
She was decent, but that movie was an abortion.
Yeah, Elizabeth Banks directed that, and it lost a ton of money.
I vaguely remember it. Oh, hey,
it made money back. It just didn't do great.
I just remember the early 2000s. Or was it early 2000s or late 90s? Or the...
Yeah, the ones that McG directed.
Yeah, those are the ones I was thinking of. And fuck McG.
Right.
For Terminator Salvation, fuck him forever. That movie sucks.
Yeah,
sucked,
but he
sad.
Did The Boys, though.
He did The Boys.
No, that was Eric Kripke, sorry.
Yeah, so fuck McG. Terminator Salvation, bullshit.
Just mumbling.
I mean, that movie was dog shit.
Didn't Kristen Stewart play Princess Diana in a movie recently?
I don't. Yes. Spencer?
And she was nominated for the Academy Award for Best Actress in a Leading Role.
Fuck yeah, good for her.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Is that her? She wasn't as Diana.
Yeah.
That does not even fucking look like her.
I know.
Wow.
Wow.
Wow. Good for her. Interesting.
So at the beginning of this recording,
mm-hmm.
I mentioned that we were watching an H.P. Lovecraft film, and people are probably wondering, where the fuck does that come into place? Well, at the end of the movie, we do have a pretty big reveal, and it is Cthulhu.
Yeah. They kind of followed the trope that we've seen in a lot of these sci-fi kaiju movies of the last, I mean, Jesus fucking Christ.
Since the 60s.
20, 30 years, 40 years, 60 years. Yeah, it's drilling that awakens the giant monsters of the sea, whether it be Godzilla or Cloverfield or... Mm-hmm. what was the one I mentioned? Pacific Rim.
Yeah, Pacific Rim with the kaiju and the Jaegers. Yeah.
Yep. No Jaegers in this movie, however. But yeah, we're introduced to these like underwater creatures, small ones, and then the ones that we were talking about that kind of were kind of human like. There's like we saw a handful of variants of different ones. The first one. They go to one of the escape pods that had crashed, and they see the body inside, and then one leaps out of the body at them, and they bring it back. And it's very alien-esque, like with the chest like burster.
Xenomorph chest burster.
Later in the movie, we see what looks like a giant octopus, and then it's got another thing of tentacles coming out of like its bottom half.
Yeah, like, it almost looked like it was like it looked like an octopus eating an octopus. Like, yeah. Like oh, there's the normal amount of tentacles, and then like, oh god, there's
it
more.
Was like an octopus eating a squid.
Uh huh. But it's all dark and stuff. So yeah, we see that, and we saw like the humanoid ones that we mentioned earlier, and we were looking, and like it looks like some of their designs are based off of various other Lovecraftian horrors. And then yeah, Cthulhu at the end.
Terrifying
wild stuff. I loved it. It was cool. I like that reveal too, because she had kind of she had one shot left in her like flare gun kind of deal, and you just fires it in that direction. You just kind of see the silhouette go by, and it's like, holy shit, here we go.
That also made me angry because I just wanted a full body shot. I was like, just let me see all of him.
You know, if I'm her, I don't want to see that terrifying shit. He was so toothy. He was a toothy boy.
He was so much toothier than what we're used to with the kind of, I guess, modern artistic renditions of Cthulhu. There was so much teeth.
He had definitely took some creative license with this version of Cthulhu. Yeah.
He definitely had, he had a bunch of tentacles. There were a lot of tentacles coming off his mouth and stuff, there were so many teeth.
So many teeth.
And he had four eyes. But in some of the drawings, he has eight eyes but it's good to get different artistic looks for the character, but it definitely was more monster movie than say, what I would expect to see from a Cthulhu.
I agree. It's definitely more monster movie. Which is fine. That's one way to take it. Cthulhu is a giant monster, after all.
I mean, honestly, that movie could have stood on its own without the monsters, with just the way it was presenting pressure from the underwater platform collapsing around them.
Mm-hmm.
That was terrifying enough. I was honestly less scared of the monsters. My whole thing, when I was watching that whole sequence, I was like, they're probably in that situation. They're thinking they're probably going to die no matter what. And the idea of being ripped apart by monsters sounds terrifying. But then you think about the fact that the second they puncture that suit, you're going to explosively decompress anyway. So it's not really any higher stakes than what you've already been at, except for the fact that these things are now just an added annoyance.
I
100% agree. I would have this movie could have been void of all monsters and I still would have been terrified.
Right. All the claustrophobia in this movie too. There's so much crawling in so many small areas. That got me. That pumped up my blood pressure just watching that.
Did y'all ever see the Poseidon Adventure, either the original or the remake?
No,
nothing. I've seen the original. I've not seen the remake. Has what's his face in it, right? It's not Pierce Brosnan, is it?
I think it might be.
Or is it Russell Crowe? It's one of them.
It was forgettable. I know I watched it, but I don't remember it. I remember the original one because Jack Nicholson was in it, and very Jack Nicholson-y. I'm sorry, Gene Hackman, not Jack Nicholson.
Poseidon. Oh, I was wrong in all accounts. It is Richard Dreyfuss and Kurt Russell.
No wonder I forgot it.
Hmm. Yeah. And also Captain Holt.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
This movie kind of reminded me of that movie in the sense that it's just all closed in and terrifying, and things aren't where they're supposed to be. Floor is the ceiling.
Yeah.
But overall, it was a pretty good movie. Do we want to? I don't know. Is there anything else that you guys want to add before we do a round score?
One, if you're hesitant to watch this because it has TJ Miller in it, know that he eats it. I think he's the second one to go. He is. In fact, it was one of the things. Death. Yeah, one of the things I noticed is that the people die in the order in which Kristen Stewart meets them.
Interesting.
So she met. I'm going to say Fernando. I'm not.
No, Rodrigo.
Rodrigo first, and he died first. And then, they were crawling through the stuff, they met T.J. Miller, and then T.J. Miller, and then they met the captain, and then the captain went.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't think about that.
Yep.
I found...
So, that's just really interesting.
Something I found interesting, I'm looking at IMDb, and apparently the soundtrack, at some point during this movie, has SpongeBob SquarePants' theme... performed by Avril Lavigne.
Yep.
Where did I miss this?
Puts that on as they're suiting up.
Oh, okay. I must have fucking missed that. But also performed by Avril Lavigne. Think about where the fuck did this come from? Like, did they, like, was this something that was just, like, on the internet? Or did she, like, specifically do it for this movie?
Oh. Well, I was like, in the movie universe, I was like, it's the oldie station.
Yeah, I was going to say, it had to be. I mean, the creator of punk, I mean, that's got to be, you know, like, that's 50 years already in the future. Okay.
There are people that aren't going to know that that's a meme joke, so please retract.
What, that Avril Lavigne created punk rock?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you know what? Avril Lavigne created punk rock in 2002. Everything before that is just classic rock.
I can hear the sounds of people having aneurysms right now.
Yeah, no shit. I can't wait till we get messages about that.
Oh, yeah, man. That's going to get tweets.
Wait till the shirt comes in.
Listen, I fully support it, Kev.
Thank you.
New merch, 2022. What's up? We can't get killed.
No. That's already taken. Like, I actually ordered a shirt yesterday that has it's got a picture of Avril Lavigne on it. And it says all of that on it. I can't wait to wear that to a concert.
Post it on Twitter so shirts that go hard can retweet it.
Yeah, no shit. I love that Twitter. It's one of my favorite follows.
The way, the SpongeBob SquarePants theme by Avril Lavigne has been around since 2014.
Oh, man. Okay.
It must have been for one of the movies.
I'd assume so. It's just such a random pull for this movie. That's why I was thinking. I was like, did they really like commission Avril to do this just for this movie?
Well, that's where the budget went.
Yeah. Think of the pitch. Yeah.
Oh, shit. I think it was from even further back than that. The SpongeBob SquarePants movie.
That's what I said.
I'm guessing the first one, because there's been multiple.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that Jessica Henwick was in The Force Awakens.
Yeah, she... And I'm pretty sure she's also in the third one. Whatever it was called. What was the third one called?
Don't remember. I don't see it on this list here.
The Search for More Money.
She was in the new Matrix movie that nobody liked.
Mm-hmm. One of the characters in the movie we were talking about, there's some other people aside from TJ Miller that are in it. The one guy from Newsroom. And, shit, what was that one movie? Oh my God. 10 Cloverfield Lane.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a good movie.
Mm-hmm.
I was very surprised with that one.
Another John Goodman banger.
Yeah, man. What was his name? John Gallagher Jr. One. Yeah, man. Surprisingly good. Which also TJ Miller in the first Cloverfield movie.
That's true. Fuck. I did see that one.
That was him. I didn't put that together until you just said that. Now all I could hear is his voice because he was like basically, he was the guy behind the camera the whole time.
Yeah, he was the camera guy the entire time.
Annoying as fuck. Oh my God. I didn't realize that. Yeah, that makes sense. That makes total sense.
Yep. And then you've also got Jessica Henwick, who was also in Iron Fist and the Defenders and Luke Cage. And then you have also T.J. Miller, who was in Deadpool. So they've also done Marvel movies.
Mm-hmm.
Or Marvel properties, I should at the very least. So, anyways.
Awesome.
There you go. Let's rate this shit and get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, let's go around the room. I don't know how you guys did it last week, but...
The normal way.
Five or ten?
Five.
Sorry, yeah.
So we'll go around the room. Everybody will rate it out of five. We can start. We'll start with Space Jesus.
All right. I liked it. This kind of movie isn't really for me. It definitely had my butt puckering multiple times throughout.
The stellar review.
So I'll give it... 3.5 Cthulhu's.
Mm.
I'm taking the Cthulhu's right off the bat.
Yeah, yes, you know.
Fuck y'all.
Low hanging Cthulhu fruit.
Goddamn right.
Let's go with Daniel.
All right. I really enjoyed it. I really like the setting for being completely, like, all encompassed in this underwater like facility, kind of like. Oh, what's that James Cameron movie? My mind's blanking. The Abyss.
T2. Terminator 2.
Yeah, Titanic, Terminator 2. Avatar. Just had that great Avatar energy. No, the being underwater was very claustrophobic. The effects were fantastic. What Doug was talking about, the practical effects. I didn't even know if we touched on that while we were recording, but the way they did the underwater effects was really interesting. Great sense of pressure and terror the whole time. I'll give that 5 Cthulhu calamaries out of Cthulhu, or 5 Cthulhu calamaries.
Hell yeah.
Okay, so I'll go next here. I only watched half the movie, but I feel like I watched the full thing.
Pretty much.
You came in like literally at the halfway point, so you only missed one death, and then we made you watch it at the beginning of this thing. So.
Yeah, he missed all of the like scary like underwater space station stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I can say that I liked what I saw. I enjoyed. I was intrigued. I was. Engaged. I loved the monster design. I enjoyed the big reveal of Cthulhu. I wasn't expecting that at the end. Like I said, set design, everything A+. I liked it. I liked what I saw. So I'm gonna give it. I'll give it 4 failed escape pods out of 5.
That's pretty good.
Rip.
Let's go, Kev.
I enjoyed this movie. I was telling when we started this movie, I realized that I didn't know anything about this. I never saw a trailer. I'd never really read up on what it was fully about. I just went in completely fresh. So I enjoyed it. And like we said, the way it kicks off, like they give you like maybe 5 minutes of downtime and then the movie is just fucking off, like right on the go. The only thing I would say, if, even for a movie that went 90 minutes, it still felt like a drug on uncertain, like toward the like kind of like the first half toward the middle of them just kind of like sludging through stuff and just a lot of walking and a lot of like just kind of just I mean, I know it's kind of building the story and kind of it's a slow burn, but I feel like they could have like cut this even under 90 minutes and still made it a pretty amazing movie. There's just, you know, there's just too many scenes with TJ Miller making really bad jokes that are failing, you know? I don't know. Overall, I did like the movie. I liked the monsters that were presented. Like you guys said, the designs on them were amazing. It was awesome getting to see, you know, some form of Cthulhu at the end. And the way it ended too. I do like, you know, she took down a demigod. That's pretty cool. You know, way to go, I guess. GG. I would give this movie 3 exploding Rodrigos out of 5.
Oh, good God.
God damn.
Yikes.
Just walk right through it.
Last thing. I curated, I guess, our playlist this month. And I've not seen, unless we end up doing Reanimator to fill in for like a week that we need, if we need 5 movies, I haven't seen anything else we've watched or will watch. And I'm glad we watched this one. This is one that, I think I saw on like What Culture Horror, their channel, as like, I think they had one for, it was like sci-fi or something like that for sci-fi horror films. And I was like, and they mentioned like, you know, the Lovecraftian aspect of it. And I was like, dope, let's fucking do it. And I'm glad we did. It was scary, but again, what we talked about earlier, it was scary, not necessarily for the monsters. The monsters, like Daniel said, were like just an added annoyance to them. And it did make their situation more intense because it's like, they couldn't just go walk from where they wanted to where they needed to, because they're suddenly being attacked by stuff. But at the same time, like this station is collapsing around them constantly. So even at one point when they are just walking and not being attacked, the fucking thing starts exploding and there's stuff falling and there's shit going off all around them. Like, and that stuff was scarier than the monsters. I'm glad for the Cthulhu reveal at the end. I don't think that it was necessarily necessary for this movie. Again, just because of what the real horror was versus the monsters. But it was a fun like twist. I'm trying to think of how I want to rate this as far as you guys have taken everything. You've taken Cthulhu and exploding bodies and
not everything.
And downed
tentacles. Pods. There were tentacles.
There were tentacles.
Rated on tentacles.
Oh, there was a rabbit.
I thought about rabbits. The rabbits. I will say this. Okay, so TJ Miller, he's carrying this rabbit around. Kevin, you mentioned that he was like making jokes that didn't land. But what I appreciated about that in his character is that it was pretty clear that the crew members were also equally annoyed by that, by of like that thing about, you know, they weren't like encouraging him constantly, like, shut the fuck up, Paul. Like,
about the time, listeners, Paul, at home, the first, I guess one of his first lines of dialogue is, "Oh, you flat chested elven beauty," when he's talking to Kristen Stewart.
Yeah. And we're all like, "Ooh, Jesus Christ." But yeah. And then most of the time when he's making these bad jokes and doing all the dumb stuff, everyone's clearly annoyed with him. So that was nice. And then when he ended up biting it, if we had been in a theater, I would have cheered. So I give this movie, I'm teetering between 3.5 and 4. There are things I think they could have done better, but overall it was an enjoyable experience. Mm-hmm. So I'll say 4. Stuffed bunny rabbits out of 5.
Still works.
Yeah. So there we go. We did it.
Doug, what do we got for next week?
Oh boy.
Well, so if we're going to try to squeeze 5 in this month, B is out of town next weekend, and so that is our opportunity to watch Reanimator without having to listen to him bitch and moan about it the entire time.
I'm not out of town. I'm doing stuff for my dad and my brother's birthdays.
Whatever.
They're not family things, but I'm not available.
You won't be here. So we can do Reanimator, a classic. I don't know if we've done it before. We may have, but fuck,
we've
it.
Watched
it
again. Like, casually, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think we've ever reviewed it.
So terrible.
It is. It is, but this is one that is truly, well, I say truly.
Truly terrible.
Truly terrible. It is directly, like, I think it even says, like, based off of H.P. Lovecraft's Reanimator, even though, again, it's pretty loosely based on, but it is still based on, like, where this was like a movie and it was like, hey, let's have fucking Cthulhu in it. Dope, let's do it. You know, like, there's a difference. Yeah. So there we go. I think that's what we're going to do next week.
Awesome. Well, stay tuned for that. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. So make sure you watch Reanimator before next week so that way you don't get the spoilies. You can hear our thoughts on it. So until then, thanks for tuning in. I'm Jeremy.
I'm Doug.
I'm Kevin.
I'm Space Jesus.
There we go.
I'm somebody. I don't even remember who I said I was at the beginning.
Caleb at one point.
Usually Caleb. So fuck it. Yeah, I'm Caleb. Suck it, nerds.
I heard somebody stole this last week and tried to do it. So I guess I have to do it.
Yeah, Doug.
Don't blame me for your mistakes.
So until next week, lots of love, hugs, and all that bullshit.